Chapter 20. I'm trying to see if there were lights. I can't quite tell there. Maybe it's just me. It looks a little darker from where I'm standing right there. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Look at another passage. We've been moving through the Ten Commandments. Again, another short one, but we can make it, you know, well, there's plenty in here that I think we can apply to our life. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 simply says this: do not steal. Thou shalt not steal. And I was thinking back, you know, last summer, if I'm correct, last summer was when gas had hit all-time highs. Remember, it was like $4.50 or $5 a gallon or something like that. And stealing became a really big thing. People were stealing gas, especially out of bigger vehicles that might hold 20 or 30 or 40 gallons of gas. And I heard of a story of a fellow who was in his RV, and he heard some ruckus kind of outside the RV, and he kind of looked in the out the window, and he saw this young man, about a 14-year-old kid, actually laying there on the ground. You know, looked like he was in convulsions, sick, thrown up, and he kind of made out what was going on. He saw a water hose or a rubber hose, so he called the police, and police got there quickly, and they went out there and started checking, find out what was this young man doing. And of course, he was trying to steal gas. And you know, stealing gas, pretty simple. You know, you stick one in, hopefully you know how to do this. You stick one end of the hose in there, give them no kids ideas, and you got to suck the gas up. And you know, you're going to get some of that gas in your mouth, no matter how hard you try. But it'll continue to siphon out. But poor fellow, this young 14-year-old, he didn't quite realize that on an RV there's several tanks. One is a gas tank, but that is not the one he stuck it in. The other is a septic tank, and that happened to be the one that he stuck it in. And they decided, the owner and the policeman were so kind, they decided, you know, this boy has learned his lesson. There's no need to prosecute him, no need to do anything else. He's learned, thou shalt not steal, because there's great consequences when we do steal. And as we look at this morning, I want us to think about these Ten Commandments. These Ten Commandments are there to adjust our lives so that we can worship God and right our relationships here on earth. They're there to make this relationship right and then to make these relationships right. And certainly stealing is one of those things that could really make a relationship all messed up and all wrong. And I want to look this morning, there are three victims when we steal. There's really three different type of victims that could take part if we were to steal. The first one is this: stealing from others. Now, as we think about this in Exodus 20:15, thou shalt not steal. You've read it. You have it there on the front of your cover there. We think, first of all, just the common thief, don't we? When we think of don't steal, we think of people who break into houses, people who take money, people who take tools or jewelry or things that they shouldn't, because those people have a mindset. You know what their mindset is? What's yours is what's mine. And if I can find a way to get it and not get caught, I'm going to take it from you. And probably every one of us had somebody steal something from us. I shared many times while I was building my house, twice had people come and steal tools or steal lumber. That's just what they'll do. People will do that. I heard about a young man who was teaching about a fourth grade Sunday school class, and he asked the class to teach on a passage like this. He said, what do you call a person, or what do you call a woman who sticks her hands in a man's pocket and takes his wallet? And they thought for a moment, and the little girl raised her hand and says, called a wife. And, you know, that's not really stealing, though. That's kind of what that is. We think about stealing as actually taking something that doesn't belong to us. And that's what stealing is. Back several years ago in New York, there was a power outage. And during that time, it was complete darkness. Looting became rampant. And in an amount of time, in about a few hours' time, the police there arrested over 3,500 people that were just busting in windows of shops, grabbing TVs, grabbing jewelry, grabbing watches, grabbing anything they could find. Because in that cover of darkness, their true character came out. In that cover of darkness, you'll really know who you are. See, character is revealed in the dark. Character is revealed when no one is watching. And if that character of stealing will come out when you think, hey, I can get by and no one's going to find me. I can steal and no one's going to catch me. Nothing is going to happen to me. That's the test of our character. You know, that's the common stealing that we usually think about. But I want to look this morning, there's several other ways in which I think we steal that maybe we don't really want to call it stealing. We don't want to think about it as stealing, but I want us to think about them. There's that common thief. The second type, there's the crime of fraud. That's kind of high-class stealing. You know what? That's what it is. We call it fraud, but it's just stealing. You're still, it's the thief. That's what you really are. And we type think about fraud. We might think of income tax fraud. Certainly, that's prevalent. That could be in that case. But also, there's another type of fraud. The type of fraud I'm thinking about is the person who refuses to do an honest day's work. If you're an employee of somebody and you refuse to do an honest day's work, guess what you are? You're a fraud. You're a thief. You know, if you're there and they pay you 8 hours to do a job, but you decide to take lots of breaks and lots of internet time and lots of kicking back and lots of stalling and lots of playing, really, we might sit there and say, well, they don't pay me enough. It's just, I'm due this. They owe this to me. Well, I've heard all those things. Sat there and listened to people complain about all those type of things. But you know what it's called? It's called being a thief. When we were doing construction work years ago, you know, that's pretty much the case. Y'all ever work around folks that don't work until the boss is around? I'm at the, you know, they see the boss's car, so they, oh, I'm going to get busy. I'm going to look like I'm doing something. But as soon as the boss is gone, they're just laying back doing nothing. We used to talk about people like that. We tell them, you need to get your hand out of the boss's pocket. Because, you know, that's what you're really doing. You're really just reaching right in there. You're taking money from him. That's really what you're doing because you're there to do a job. You're there to work. The one who does nothing until the boss shows up. We always love that. The Bible has told us as employees in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, that we are to work. That we are to work and do an honest day's work for what an employer is paying us for. If you're lazy, if you're careless, if you're sloppy, if you're indifferent, if you've broken the spirit of this command. You've broken the spirit of this command. But you know what? It's also there for employers. You know what? There's ways that you steal. There's ways that you have fraud. James chapter 5, verse 4 talks about this, that an employer is there and he needs to take care of those who work for him. And there's plenty of employers in our world today who try to cheat their employees and not pay them what they should. We sit there and think, well, we're in a recession or we're coming out of it, whatever. I don't really know. And, you know, and people need jobs, so I can get this person a lot cheaper than I would normally really pay. And when I think that's called shrewd in business, we're thinking that's a good way for us to make extra money. We're going to get a lot more work out of them. We're going to pay them a whole lot less. That's really smart of us. You might call it shrewd, but the Bible and God calls it a thief is what it calls it. Simple as that. You know, we come up with lots of ways and different ways to color things and paint things. But if you don't pay a decent wage, you'll have to face Almighty God about it. There's going to be lots of employers who are going to stand before God and have to give an account of why they didn't pay like they should have. Why didn't pay that employee who was working hard, doing as much as the other one, but they could get by with it less than they should have? See, you can say, I'm getting by with paying less, and you call yourself shrewd. God calls you a thief. I want you to look over in Mark chapter 12, another application of this, I believe. You got your Bible there. Turn over to Mark. I don't think you've got to keep your finger next to this. If you can't remember, thou shalt not steal, we've got trouble there. So Mark chapter 12. Let's see, I'm looking for a verse 40. Okay, I actually start in verse 38. Warning against the scribes. He also said in his teaching, beware the scribes who want to go around in long robes and who want greetings in the marketplaces, the front seats in the synagogues, and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and say long prayers just for show. These will receive harsher punishment. And what Jesus was talking about here is here you had these Pharisees and the scribes. They were godly, religious, very religious, pious, self-righteous people that people respected and just adored. But at the same time, they had other things on the side. What many of them would do is there would be a man who would die, and here this widow would be left. This widow would be left, and here she has her house and belongings. She doesn't know how to manage these things. She doesn't know the value of any of these things. And they would come in, and talks about devour widows' houses, and they would kind of make her a deal. We'll give you this much money. She didn't know any difference. And they would really rob her of it. They'd give her not even close to what was fair for it. And as they took that from her, they would kind of sit back thinking, man, we pulled a good one today. We're still holy, we're still righteous, we're scribes, we're Pharisees. Look how we did our business. That, we think, again, we call it shrewd. God calls it a thief. God calls it thievery is what he calls it. We have obligations in those areas. Let me look at some other areas, I think, in which we steal from others. Here's another one. This one hits closer to home with here in Louisiana because we have a lot of these in Georgia. We didn't, but it's gambling. Oh, man, we're going to hit on those, aren't we? Yep, gambling. Why is it wrong? Well, you know why gambling is wrong? Because no one can win at gambling without another person losing. Think about that. No one can win at gambling without another person losing. You know, you see the advertisements for all these casinos and things like that, and they make it sound like they're just giving money away. I mean, just show up. We're going to give you some money. We love giving money away. If they did that, would they really be in business? Would they still be around? Of course not. They're about really making a whole lot of money. And for you to make money, somebody else had to lose. And someone probably had to lose quite a lot of money. It is profit and pleasure at the expense of someone else's pain and loss. And it violates the spirit of love. It violates the spirit of concern, the spirit of compassion. Someone once said, when a man gambles and wins, he's a thief. When he gambles and loses, he's a fool. Well, you know what she tells you? You can't win. You really cannot win. And it is stealing. See, there's two ways of attaining things in the Bible. And none of them are kind of put in a little bit and hope to get a lot. And see, when we're gambling, that's what we're doing. We're hoping to put in the very least that we can and hit a great big payback. I mean, everyone's dreamed of that. I mean, don't everyone sit there so pious, I've never thought of that. We've all thought about something, whether it's somebody leaving us a great inheritance, or whether it's just, you know, the lottery ticket, or it's putting a penny slot and winning $1 million. I mean, we all want that big payoff for very little investment. But it's not scriptural. It's not biblical. The Bible says there's two ways to attain things. One is if someone just gives you something. If you get something as a free gift, whoo, that's great things, right? That's good. You can accept it, and that's one way of attaining things. There's another way of attaining things. You want to hear the second one? It's called work. Oh, see, work and gambling don't go hand in hand. I mean, you have to work at gambling, I suppose, if you're a good gambler, but work for it. Earn the money and purchase it. There's no other way in the Scripture that seems to be the correct way for us to attain things. He's told us you're gambling. Here's another one, is unpaid debts. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 tells us to owe no man anything. Now, that's not a commandment against ever borrowing money. I mean, you have to borrow money for a house or borrow money for a car, whatever it might be, things like that. But what the Bible here is saying is decide just not to pay those things. Lots of people today decide, well, I just don't want to pay this debt. I don't think I should have to pay this debt. Refusal to pay honest debt is the same as stealing. And we make a lot of excuses for it, don't we? We'll sit there for rent and say, well, they didn't put new linoleum in the house like they told me to. I'm just not going to pay them this month. Okay, you're a thief is what you are. That's what you are. You know, you say, well, they didn't do what they're supposed to do. Well, I'm not going to do this. If you agree to pay something, guess what you should do? Pay it. And if you don't like it, you should have thought about it before you made the commitment. But it's much better for you to be honest and to keep your end. God will honor that. God will always honor that. But if you decide to be a cheat and decide to put somebody up, God will never honor that. You do your part and God will bless it. I'll give you another example, some ways that we steal from others, is borrowing things and not returning them. I'm hoping, I've sat there in my mind trying to make a note to make sure I don't got anybody stuck at my house right now before I said that, but I don't think I do it. If I do, you better tell me, because I think it's mine by this point, but borrowing things, not returning them. Hey, borrowing stuff is great, isn't it? But when we decide not to return it, it's the same thing as stealing. Maybe you borrow tools from a neighbor, and they never, ever, ever make it back. In fact, they take them, they engrave their name on it. You know, it's theirs now, isn't it? Books from the library, whether it's our library or whether it's the library here, you take those things, you never return them, it's stealing. Tables and chairs from the church. Now, we don't want confession time, but I had a couple chairs at my house last night. I had to return them so I could feel okay for today. But, you know, we tables and chairs, whatever it might be, even borrowing things we don't return is a form of stealing. But I tell you some more serious things, I think, that are forms of stealing from others. One is slander. Is slander, stealing someone's reputation. Talking, whether it's gossip, slander, whatever it might be, stealing somebody's reputation. Shakespeare said this. He said, he who steals my purse steals trash. Well, I've looked at my wife's purse and some others. That's true. That's just trash in there, I think. There's nothing else. But he says, he who steals my purse steals trash, but he that filters from me my good name robs me of that which not enriches him and makes me poor indeed. You know, we don't think about that as a form of stealing, but when we slander somebody, when we gossip about somebody, and what's there say, well, it's true. You know, it might be true, but is it necessary? Is what you're saying there to build them up? Is it for their edification? Is it to help them? Or is it just because you just want to talk? When we do that, to realize that we're hurting that person, we're hurting ourselves too, and I'll come to that later, but we're hurting that person. We're hurting their name. You know what the greatest thing that all of us have is our name? It's our name. Because our name is to be attached to his name. And you see, I have my name, and my name is attached to his name. When people see me, hopefully they'll see Christ, and therefore everything we do, our name is so important. That's one of the difficulties that Ann and I had many years ago when I had a construction business is, you know, I want to keep my word. If I told somebody I was going to do something, I wanted to do it, and I wanted to do it right, and I wanted to do it on time. And a lot of times, you know, people would really take advantage of you in that. I mean, you'd lose. But, you know, we bang our heads over. It's like, what do we do in this situation? You know, we're going to lose money if we do this. But you know what? We decided that our name is worth a whole lot more, even than $5,000 or $10,000. What is your name worth? Your name is worth everything to you. And when you try to steal somebody else's name, you, my friend, are a thief. I got another just real basic one, cheating in school. Now, don't raise your hand if you've ever done it, because I don't want confessions here. But cheating in school, what we'll do is rationalize it. Well, it's just a test. Just something small. I got to pass this or else my parents will get me or I'll be on restriction. I'm not going to be able to go off this weekend or I won't get into college. So it's okay in the short term to do things that violate God's word because long term it's going to be worth it. If I don't do these things, then I won't get into college and I won't be able to, you know, raise a family and have good things and give to the church and do all that stuff. We rationalize. And it's just a test. It's just one test. I needed a little bit of help. But it doesn't matter, my friend, if it's only once. You know what it is? If it's once, it's sin. It's thievery. It's stealing. It doesn't matter if it'll help your future. It is stealing. I saw a story of this professor in college, and he had this big, dumb football player. Not all football players are big and dumb, but this particular one was. And, man, he kept making a good grade in his class, and he couldn't figure it out because he had pretty tough classes. And he noticed that there was a real smart fellow that sat kind of adjacent to him. And he kept figuring, man, this guy's cheating, but he never could catch him. I mean, he'd work at it, he'd look and watch, and he knew it in his gut that he could never prove it, could never catch him. Till one day he gave a really hard test. And this really smart, brainiac guy was taking it over here, and he came to one of the questions, and man, he just didn't know it. He didn't know the answer from anything, so he wrote on his test paper, he said, I don't know the answer to this question. And the big dumb football player wrote over his, me neither. So he kind of got caught right there a little bit, but you know, that's called cheating. And students, I know it's like we say, can I borrow your homework? You don't borrow somebody's homework, you're stealing. And whether it's, and today it's so easy. If you look, so many students take classes or tests that are online. I mean, get somebody smart to take your test. That'd be the answer, right? And you got to write a term paper. Well, there's a key to that. Go to the internet. You can buy one for $5 or $10. But all those things are cheating and they hurt our name. But there's some other things I think are just as important. I think the theft of someone's faith. I want you to turn over to Jeremiah with me for a second. Now, I know that's going to take a second. Go ahead and turn to it. Okay, I don't hear much turning, so I'll give you a second. Jeremiah, okay? It's after Isaiah is where it's at. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 30. Listen to what God says here in His Word. A very strict warning, I think, that we need to pay attention to. Verse 30. He says this. You've got to find it in mine right there. Therefore, take note. I'm against the prophets, the Lord's declaration, who steal my words from each other. I'm against the prophets, the Lord's declaration, who use their own tongue to deliver an oracle. I'm against those who prophesy false dreams, the Lord's declaration, telling them and leading my people astray with their falsehoods and their boasting. It was not I who sent or commanded them, and they are not of no benefit at all to these people. This is the Lord's declaration. He's given a stern warning. And those of you, whether it's a minister, whether you're a teacher in a Sunday school class, wherever it might be, do you understand what he's talking about here? Stealing the faith of somebody else by misleading them. By false teaching. And that's what these prophets were doing. They said, well, God didn't say, here's the way. This is the way. This is the direction. And God has said, you know what? I am not for it. I am not with you. And you will face great condemnation. Let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of ministers, a lot of preachers, a lot of Sunday school teachers. There'll be a lot of folks one day who are going to stand before God with groanings and moanings because they purposefully misled people. They purposefully misled students. They purposefully misled college and seminary students into believing that the Bible is not the true Word of God. You don't have to believe that. You know, it's just, it's a good God, but you don't have to believe that. You will be responsible for that. And there's going to be many who stand before God with great fear and great trembling because what you've really done is you've stolen somebody's faith. You know, the most important group, I say this, I think I'm okay to say this, the most important group that we teach here at our church is our children and our youth. Why? Because they're the most impressionable. They will soak up whatever you're teaching. Now, you might sit there and think, well, they're not paying attention or doing this over here. They're just really smart. We have a lot of very smart students. And they can do two or three things at one time. And as adults, we can't multitask. It's like, we got to get each other's face to face. And, okay, did you hear what I said? But these kids grab it. Do you realize how important it is? And I think we have great teachers, so I don't think we have a problem there. But it's so important because they're listening to everything you say. What you teach them about the Bible is what they will believe. As adults, we sometimes get to the point where we can have some reasoning. We can think, well, I've heard other preachers or teachers, and I can kind of flesh this out for myself. But a child is going to take what you say to heart. And, you know, that's not just in church. That's in school, too. We have such influence, whether we're coaching a team, whether we're teaching a school, whether we have whatever influence we may have, especially upon those who are young folks. We better be very careful because we're going to be held accountable for it. And if we steal away their faith, God will hold you accountable for that. The second way I think that we can steal, we talked about stealing from others. All this was about stealing from others. I think we can steal from God. We steal from God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 talks about this, that we're withholding yourself, withholding ourselves from God. Let me help you understand something. You are not your own. You think, well, my life is mine. It belongs to me. No, it doesn't. As a believer, your life never has belonged to you. It's belonged to God. He purchased it. He paid for it. He created you. Then He bought you back. I heard the story about a little boy. He had made him his cute little sailboat, beautiful red sail, and painted the thing, and he put it in a little creek, and I think it had a remote control of some sort, and he was walking with it and playing with it and controlling it, but the wind came up and it began to take it away, and he couldn't control it anymore, and it floated and floated and floated and finally got way out of sight, went down the river somewhere. He was sad and he lost this thing. He had built it with his hands. It was his little pride and joy. One day he was walking down the street and he looked in this little shop over here, toy shop, and there was his boat. He knew it was his boat, had his little signature on it. He went to the man and said, that's my boat. I want you to give it to me. Man said, I can't give you that boat. I mean, somebody brought it in here and I bought it from them. I own it. You're going to have to pay for this thing. I said, but man, I built this boat. It's my boat. He said, I'm sorry. It's my boat right now. So that little boy determined. He went out, he raked leaves. He did all those things that little kids do. He raised up his money. Boy, he was so proud when he walked in that shopkeeper one day and just kind of plopped it all on his desk and said, here's my money. Give me my boat back. And the shopkeeper says, he heard the little boy as he walked out and said, you know, I bought you twice. I bought you, I built you, then I bought you back. You are mine. In the same way, God has bought you. You are His. You belong to Him. Now, what would you do if I came over to your house today and I borrowed something? Let's say it was something pretty good. You're just dumb enough to let me borrow something that's really nice from you. And I borrowed it, and I took it to my house, and man, I just wore it out. I abused it. I neglected it. I just tore. I did everything you could imagine to the thing. And I just never returned it. What would you call me? There's a lot of names you might call me, but there's one particular one I had in mind here. You'd say, you know what, I've really stolen that from you, haven't I? You know, is there any difference in our lives? Is there any difference when we steal our lives from God? We abuse our lives, we neglect it, we ignore God, we do our own thing with it, and then we just kind of look at God and say, hey, it's my life. God says we are a thief. See, you defraud God when you refuse to serve Him with all of your heart. We want to think about this, thou shalt not steal, is about, I didn't take a pen from work and I didn't cheat on income tax, and so I'm okay. But you know what, it gets us a whole lot more when we start looking at our relationship with God. We're stealing from God. We steal our time from God. We steal our resources from God. We steal our gifts, our talents. We steal from God. That's one more way. There's another way. That's withholding our stewardship. Turn over to Malachi, okay? Malachi, that's in the end of the Old Testament, okay? You knew I was going to get to this one eventually. Okay, I'll keep turning. You're almost there. There, I'm there. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. It says this, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. You ask, how do we rob you? It says, by not making the payments of 10% in the contributions. You're suffering under a curse. Yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full 10% to the storehouse that there may be good, there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. See if I'll not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. Boy, that's one of those powerful verses right there. And we hear about that some. We don't like talking about it at church. So we're talking about giving. But you realize what God is sitting there saying? He said, test me. Try me. Prove me. See if I can be faithful. See if I can meet your needs on 90% rather than 100%. See what I can do. We realize that we're robbing God. We're stealing from God. Now, you know, maybe every person here probably at some point in their life has stolen something. I mean, you stole a pencil from school or you stole an answer on a test. I mean, probably nobody in here can sit there and say, I've never stolen anything. And maybe you got away with it, you know. How many of you stolen something? You got away with it. No one ever found you. No one ever caught you. But you know what? There's this type of thievery of God. Let me tell you, never get by with it. God knows. Do you think Almighty God, who's all-powerful and all-knowing, that you can steal from Him and Him not realize it? Certainly not. You know, we read of these big, huge companies and people within them commit fraud and embezzle hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the company never figures out because it's so big. They learn how to shift and to shuffle stuff and they never get caught. Let me tell you this. There's no way you're going to shift and shuffle enough in your own personal life for God not to know it, for God not to find it, for God to get by and say, oh, I didn't know they did that. It is stealing from God. There's one man who professed to be a Christian. A pastor spoke to him and said, ask the man if you've been baptized. And he said, oh, no. He said, I haven't been baptized. The man said, why not? He said, well, the dying thief wasn't baptized, so neither have I been baptized. The pastor asked him, well, are you a member of a church? And he said, nope, certainly not. Not a member of a church. And, well, why not? He said, well, the dying thief wasn't a member of a church, so I don't figure I need to be a member of a church. The pastor asked him, well, do you give the church to help promote the gospel throughout the world? I said, oh, no, I don't do that either. The pastor said, well, why not? So the dying thief didn't give money to the church to help the gospel be spread throughout the world. The pastor looked at him and said, you know what? There's two differences. There's a difference between you and that man. He was a dying thief and you're a living thief. Sometimes that's what we're living thieves because we're stealing from God. We're stealing from God our life that belongs to Him. We're stealing from God even our finances. And the last thing we steal from, I want you to keep mind of this one. We not only just steal from others, not only are we steal from God, many times we steal from ourselves. When you refuse to surrender to God, you never gain. You might sit there and think, well, if I control my life and I do things my way, it will work out best for me. You never gain. When you take your life back from God, when you're disobedient to God in any area, you will never gain. It might look like right now you're going to make some gains, but trust me, it's the long term. You never win when you do this with God. When you refuse to obey God's commands, you're the one that swindled. You might think, well, I got by. I pulled one over on God. I was disobedient to Him. You were really the one that lost. You are the one who was swindled. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, and verse 25, that your sins are withholding good things from you. That when we continue to sin against God and we continue to just live our life our way, there's the good things that are withheld from our life. And those good things are not just money and bank accounts and material things. There's some things that are withheld from our lives that are worth much, much more than a big 401k or a big house or a nice boat. You know what we're robbed of? We rob ourselves of peace. We rob ourselves of joy. We rob ourselves of love. We rob ourselves. If you look at the fruits of the Spirit, that's what we rob ourselves of. See, when we're walking with God as we should, He blesses us with love and joy and peace and goodness and faith and kindness and gentleness. All these type of things that really make our life worth living. But you know, I've known many people who have it all, and they're the most miserable people in the world. I think the first time I really met a rich fella, I worked for him in an auto parts store, and I might have told you, his name was Sonny. And his wife went to church regularly, but I don't think he ever went to church. And he wasn't a believer, but he didn't trust anybody. Didn't trust his own kids. His own kids would steal from him. So he's kind of one of those very, guarded type of people. But for some reason, I got to be close to him. I think he knew I was going to Bible college, so I think he figured, well, he ain't gonna steal. He's gonna trust me. And you know, and I would be involved with him, help him do little things, and go and buying expensive vehicles and taking him places. And man, I was just impressed. You know, look at all the money he had. But you know, every time I saw him, he never had a peace. Somebody was always out to get him. He never had joy. You never saw him with a smile on his face. He always walked in with a scowl. I'm sitting there thinking, man, I've had all the money like you had. Wouldn't I be happy? What the answer is? No. Because he had missed the most important things. He had robbed himself. He had all the money you could think of in bank accounts and retirements and everywhere else. But he was dirt poor. Because he had robbed himself for all these years. He robbed himself because he had no peace. He had no joy. He had no hope. He had no love. He missed it all. He missed it all. And we do the same thing. See, if you're afraid to surrender your life to God like that, when do you rob yourself? You swindle yourself. You cheat yourself. You steal from yourself the joy, the peace, the happiness that God wants you to have. God wants you to have those things in your life. But you're the ones robbing them. God's not the one taking them from you. You are robbing yourself. And we're left with nothing. I read of a story in Oklahoma City many years ago. There's this great house fire. Big, pretty large one. I think it was an apartment complex, and the city fireman responded, and there was just a frantic mom out there on the sidewalk just screaming, trying to break free from the fireman that her baby was still inside. She wanted to get inside, and of course, they're holding her back, said, it's too late, we can't go in, it's too bad. And but finally, one fireman stood up and said, you know what, I'm going to go in. I'm going to risk it. Y'all just keep the water on me. I'm going to go up there. He climbed, and he got up there to the second floor where it was at, just smoke billowing everywhere, and he felt around, and he found the crib. He found the crib, and he reached in there, and he grabbed this bundle, this blanket. He could fill a baby in there, and he began to make his way down. And I mean, just filled with smoke and just hurting. He came down with this precious bundle, is what he thought he had. And he got down there, and of course, the mom broke loose and came running and grabbing and just so excited at that time. But as she opened it up, she found that this was not the baby at all. She said, this is the baby's blanket. This is the baby's baby doll. It was nothing to it whatsoever. That fireman was broken over that. And I think there's many people today who are going to be broken over their lives. Because one day when we stand before God, we're going to look and say that all we've clutched to our chest is all of our toys, all of the things that we want to hold into in life, all of our own decisions. We've clutched our life so tightly, and we really have nothing whatsoever. We've lost. We've lost it all. It's a tragedy. See, when all the smoke is cleared away, you see that you went through life and you robbed yourself of the joy, of the peace, the happiness that only Jesus can give. And we think about thou shalt not steal, it comes pretty simple for a lot of us thinking, don't steal something, don't shoplift, don't break into people's homes. Do we think about it this morning? There's so many other ways that we steal. And it could be that the person you've really stolen from is yourself. It could be the person you've really stolen from is God. I want to challenge you to think this morning, are you stealing from others? As an employee, are you stealing wages and time? Are you stealing goods? Are you stealing your reputation as an employer, as a student? Whatever it is, whatever your role is there in life, are you stealing from other folks? And if so, then you need to repent of that today because God's trying to convict you about it. Are you stealing from God, your life and your service, your stewardship? Are you stealing from Him and robbing God day after day after day because you refuse to surrender areas of your life to God? What will He do with them? trust me, he'll do a whole lot better with them than you've been doing with them. You'll never regret that. And are you stealing from yourself? Are you, have you swindled yourself and robbed yourself of the joy, the peace, and the abundant life that God has in store for you? The life that makes it all worth living. If so, there's a simple way. Here's the neat thing. Repent. Repent. That word repent simply means to change course. 180-degree turn. Say, God, this is what I've been doing. I'm not going to do that. Maybe it's your employer. Tomorrow, I'm going to work my full 8 hours, even if everybody else lays down after three. I'm going to work. As an employer, you're like, you know what? I'm going to treat my employees right this week, and I'm going to do my business deals correct no matter what. You know, as a student, it's like, I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to do my homework myself, or I'll take the consequences. Whatever it might be, that repentance is just a turn, a change. But we need God's help to turn, and we need God's help to change. If it's in our relationship with God, boy, he hears that. He's waiting for a repentant heart this morning that's sitting there saying, you know what? I'm tired of hanging on to these areas of my life. I've stolen from you, God. I've stolen years from you, God. And I can't make all those years back up, but I can from this moment on say, God, I surrender it all. I'll steal from you no longer with my life. Maybe this morning the best thing, you've stolen your life because you haven't turned your life over to Jesus Christ. You haven't come to that place. You've heard it many times. You've come to church a lot of times. You heard about you're a sinner and that Jesus died on the cross, but you've never given him control. You've never followed him. You've never surrendered your life to him. Then today is the day that he's calling upon you to say, you know what? Follow me. Follow me. Become my disciple. Surrender all to me. This morning, our time of invitation, I would encourage you and ask you just to come. Matt and I will be down front. Would love to pray with you and help you know Jesus Christ as your Lord, as the Savior of your life, as the one who will take control of your life. Maybe there's other things we could pray for you about this morning. We'll be here, but the altar will be open. Maybe there's just some little areas in your life. Let me encourage you, even if it's one little area. You might sit here this morning and say, well, I'm not doing any of those bad things. Don't cheat on my taxes. And, you know, I'm not stealing from my employer. I'm not doing all of those things. But there was one little place where it kind of got me. That's the one place that the Lord's speaking to you about today. Let me encourage you not to shun that. Let me encourage you not just to kind of forget about that. Let me encourage you to respond to that. Because even in those little bitty areas, God is concerned with your life. God wants you to have the best life possible. Don't rob others. Don't rob him. And rob yourself no more. Would you pray with me? Father, Lord, as we look at, again, a very simple command, that God, we know how that command could easily affect a family and an entire church body, an entire community and a nation. Lord, I pray that we'd be a people who are not stealing. God, and especially that we wouldn't steal from you, God, our lives. Lord, we can talk about the money and the things like that, but God, what you're more concerned with is that we steal our life from you. That God, we are staying in control of it. God, today you're calling for us to surrender, to no longer be those thieves who've taken something from you. Lord, I pray if there's one here this morning who just needs to follow you as their personal Lord and Savior, that this morning you've spoken to them and they know it and they feel it right now, that you give them the encouragement and the strength and the courage, God, to step out here in just a moment and to come and let us pray with them. And God, say their life given over to you. Lord, all of us, God, in these areas of our life where we have stolen, God, I pray we'd repent before you today. And that, God, we'd have a change of course beginning this very moment. It's that holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Ask you would to stand with me as Brother Don leads us on our hymn invitation. As God has spoken, would you come?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Glad you were with us here this morning. Hope you'll be back tonight. Hope we'll evaluate our lives with this simple command, and that God would not find us as a thief in our life. He'd find us as one who is honest in our dealings with others, our dealings with Him, even in our own life. One final announcement. I forgot, as Tuesday night, we do have our regular personnel committee meeting here at the church, 6:30, I think, at the time. So I want to make that. Again, look forward to seeing you back tonight. Bible drill, if you have children between, I forget the age group, like 5 or 6 and through about 5th or 6th grade, I think is what that is. We invite you to come and bring them. They'll learn where the books of the Bible are. And I know as adults, there's a lot of adults who have a hard time finding those. And, you know, it wouldn't be great to train up your child so they can use that Word of God and find things and know what the Word of God says. So I just encourage you to do that. If you're busy with us, I'm going to be in the back. Sure would like to meet you, put a name with a face. Invite you to be back with us and let us know how we can help you with anything else. I guess Brother Clyde Lindsay, if you don't mind, would you close us in prayer this morning?